All right, welcome back, everybody, to History Through Art for this 2014-15 academic year with the elementary class. We started History Through Art last week looking at a painting, which, as it turns out, a little bit about it escaped, and people started to know more about it than I wanted, because the title of the painting was on display. And I like to not show the title of the painting generally. I like it if people do not know what the painting is. I find that it helps to make sure that people pay attention to what is in the picture, rather than start to have expectations about what's supposed to be in the picture, and maybe feel like they're seeing things that they want to see, and that can be a real trick when you're looking at art, not to be looking for what you want to see, but rather to see what's really there. So I don't usually tell students the title of the painting or even the subject of the painting. I just say, here is a work of art that shows us a moment in history or some theme related to history. And let's try to understand what the artist has to say. So we're going to go back to that very shortly here with the painting that we saw. And so let me actually just prepare my screen for a second. I'm going to minimize a couple windows and just have it ready to go because there were just a few too many things on my screen. Okay, so let me go ahead and share my screen with you guys and take us back to the painting by Carl von Pilotti, an amazing history artist from Germany. If you're ever able to travel through Germany and you go into little castles, and they often have castles and palaces of all kinds, you can go inside and you can visit amazing places, and you'll see paintings by this artist and in German museums as well. And a painting like this is probably larger than life, so it's very exciting to see. But anyway, this is our painting, and some of you kind of know what it's about already, but we're not going to focus on that. We're just going to focus on the image of it. And today our goal is going to be to come up with a complete description of the painting, to complete our description of the painting, and to summarize the painting, summarize everything that we see in one sentence, and then the final step is to give the painting a title based on everything that we understand the painting to be showing us. So we get, in History Through Art, we get to give the painting the title because of what we see. Not because of what some other person in the museum decided to give the painting a title or what they thought the painting saw, but what we see in the painting. And so I find that to be an exciting exercise. And oftentimes, museum titles for paintings are really, really boring, and they don't actually give us any kind of meaningful idea of what's happening in the painting. So I think that's an exciting way to summarize what the artist is trying to tell us about a particular time in history. Now, before we move into the next stages of our analysis, I want to take us back to last class where we were examining the main character. Right? And yes, we did learn in a sense or observe that there is the issue of a main character in this painting, in the sense that there actually is more than one character, right? So we had this character back here who's kind of very much down in the corner, and we don't see much of him. But there's more than one character in this painting, and so we had to talk about there being a main character and why, and that's part of understanding art. And then we started to analyze the character. And I invited you in class to think about the way that he is standing, the facial expression, the way, for instance, you know, we can look at the eyes in particular here. If I zoom in, how do I do that? Just zoom like this, I guess, right? So if we were to zoom in on our main character, And we were looking at that facial expression, right? We started to notice things. We started to see under the eyes there were bags. We started to see the eyes were quite wide open. And he looked, his mouth was slightly open, so he was surprised. His hair is what we would call disheveled, right? It's not combed or looking particularly nice. So he's not worried about that, right? And so we were trying to figure this out, and I invited you to think about his facial expression, the way that his face looks, and also the way that he is standing. And so when that is often what we talk about, and I invited you to adopt the pose and to try to act like this character. And it just occurred to me what a great thing it could be if we all kind of shared our initiatives with regard to that. And I came up with a fun new idea that's going to be a part of the course this year, which is the History Through Art Selfie Contest. And so I said to you guys, well, do your best to be this character. And by doing that, what I want to encourage you to do is to think about what's happening here, what they're feeling, what they are doing, what the action is, what's happening, what it means to them. So that's the idea of the History Through Art Selfie Contest. And you guys came up with some awesome selfies. And it's not coming up on my screen. There we go. Okay. So in the class, I'm going to zoom in here a little bit more on this, right? We have the original one. And then in class, Wyatt and Patrick both did their in-class, what I call in-class selfies, right? And so they both kind of worked on where are the hands, what is the look, and how is the man standing. That was really cool. So from now on in History Through Art, we're going to have a contest called in-class selfies. That's going to be one of the categories of the selfie contest to help us in our endeavors to understand the art. And then we're going to have other kinds of contests as well. I call this part the green screen selfie contest. And that's because Mr. Powell and Timothy both decided to... Now, let me try and see if I can get rid of this. No, that didn't work. Oh, actually, maybe it did. Yeah, there it is. All right, so what I did was I erased the character from the painting using digital techniques, and then I put myself in instead. And then I gave people on Facebook, I gave people this template. I'm going to show you that right now. And Timothy used it. He's in the other class. And he made one of his own. So actually, let me take you there for a second to Facebook and show you guys. And your parents should probably go with you if you're going to be looking at any of this stuff on Facebook, right? But we have the Facebook.com History at Our House page. And that's where I and other people posted their History Through Art selfies. And here was the album that I created. And as part of that album, what I did was, let's see here. Is this the one? Yeah, as part of the album, what I did was I showed people and I gave people the empty painting. And then you can put yourself inside. Okay, so I'm going to try to do that for future paintings as well, for anybody that wants to try to create a green screen History Through Art selfie. So this is called a green screen, and then what happens is you get to put yourself inside the painting. So Timothy and I did that, which was a lot of fun. And then other people, and some of them in this class, amazing, did their own. I call these personalized dramatic selfies. And Abby's was absolutely stellar. Look what she did. She had the lamp, which is like the lamp in the painting. She had a source of light coming in from this way, which is like the moon. And she had these kind of stars going on over here. She even put the hat on the ground and the books on the ground and the maps on the desk. That was amazing. That was absolutely stellar. And then we have Juliet over here who did something similar. She's also kind of got the mood going with kind of making sure that the light is not too strong. And then she got her hat on the ground and she's looking up and trying to be like the character. And then we have Jacob over here who actually made a movie. And I just took a still from the movie where he's turning away and trying to act like our main character. So these are fantastic things that you guys did. And I really want to encourage you to do this. And the reason why is this. We're going to put this down now and go back and look at our character. We need to understand, if we're going to appreciate this painting, we need to understand what this pose is. Is this a pose of pride, for instance? The fact that this man, you guys can answer that if you like, the fact that this man's arm is like this, we might think, and Patrick's selfie had pride in it, right? He was, and actually a fair number of people had pride in their selfies. So for instance, see Abby's selfie here is quite proud. Okay? And I would say that Patrick's in-class selfie also had quite a bit of pride in it. But is this a proud pose? Is a difficult question. And if it is or if it isn't, you gotta tell me why you think it is or not. So anybody have thoughts about that? Is this a proud pose or not? How do we decide? How do we figure it out? Well, one way is we look at this and we compare it to our selfies and we say, well, wait a minute, our selfie looks proud, but this one doesn't. So that helps us. We can kind of see the difference. Jeremy, go ahead.
I think he looks humble because he's looking like he's about to stop bowing.
No, I'm not sure that I agree with you on that one. I don't think so. What would he be bowing to would be a difficult question to answer, and I don't think that he is. He is standing very upright. His posture is strong. And so, no, I don't see that. Nemo, Nemo just wanted to back out there. But I want to show you guys something else here. I want to show you examples of different types of poses. Here's a pose from another painting. Now look at the man on the right. Look how high up that arm is. Is that the same? Look what happens if we notice the difference between a man with the arm way up high and a man whose arm is here. And what else do we notice is different about these scenes? Rosetta?
I think it's the picture that we're doing.
Yes.
I think he's not proud, and in the other picture, the other guy's prouder.
Prouder, I would agree, except that's not the essence of the character. What's the essence of this character? Is it pride?
I think so.
No, I wouldn't say so. I think it's something else. He's looking at this other man with a lot of anger. The essence of the character is his anger and defiance. Patrick, what did you think?
I think that in the picture with two people, they're not fighting. But I think that in the picture with three people, they are fighting.
Oh, yes, you are absolutely right. There's a fight going on here, right? So these people really don't have anything to do with each other. This man isn't worried about this guy. But here, he's looking at the other man, and this gesture is an angry gesture. You're absolutely right. So notice they are similar, but different. Similar but different. Now, I want to bring up a slightly different one here. So let me do that. It's going to take me just a sec. Look at this man. Look at this man. Now, don't we have another man who's standing upright and whose arm is up to his chest? What's different now? Do we have the same feeling again? Are these guys the same the way that they're standing? Henry? Wyatt?
This is Wyatt.
He is proud.
Yes, proud. Verging on, indeed, vain, right? In other words, he's like a peacock. He's showing off with his beautiful outfit. And, yeah, so that's very different, isn't it? So, yeah, and his feet are his pose. So here's the thing about doing our selfies and about looking at different works of art. This has a technical name. Maybe you guys like big words. This technical word for what we are doing is called, are you ready for it? Big word alert. Differentiation. And it starts with the word difference, right? It means differentiation means seeing differences. Seeing differences helps us to identify things. If we look at these two men, they're similar, but they are different. And that helps us to know the difference between them. Okay. Anna says, how do you spell that? Good word, isn't it? I will type it into the chat. Differentiation. The seeking out of differences. Or no, let's see, what would be a better way of saying that? The perception of differences. Okay, seeing differences. Okay, differentiation. Jeremy still has some thoughts here. Go ahead.
Also, the guy in the left is smiling.
Yes, indeed, right? So the smile is part of the pride. Patrick?
I also noticed that their faces are looking in different ways.
Oh, that's so good, right? The man in red is kind of looking out at us with his pride. The man over here has no idea that we're there, right? It's not like we are actually taking a picture of him. It's as if the artist is floating invisible looking at the moment, right? So the man over here really doesn't know that anybody else is there. His moment is entirely personal. He's not looking at somebody else. He's looking at the horizon, as we already said, and he's quite surprised. His gesture is almost like a gesture of protecting himself. He needs to put up his arm because he's startled. Sigourney, go ahead.
I was saying that the painting work, looking over, the man has his fists clenched.
Yes. Yes, indeed. So these hands are kind of relaxed and a little bit posed. These hands are the hands of a man who's really not thinking about his hands. He just happens to be having a strong reaction to something. Isn't that yet tense? Very good, Anna. Right, exactly. That hand is tense. And this hand over here is clasping the table a little bit. Not totally gripping it, but clasping it. Go ahead, Patrick.
I also noticed in the picture of the man with the face straight, there's pretty much no other people in that painting. But in the other painting, we already know that there's two.
Yeah, that's true. So this is a good point, that when we are looking at paintings, we always want to see how many characters are there and are they interacting? Here, we have two characters, but really they're not interacting. As opposed to the other painting where there were multiple characters and they were interacting. Now I'm going to put this away because differentiation is good, but we don't want to get over caught up with it. We want to just use it in order to understand better what we are seeing. All right, now what we're going to do is we have this surprised man who has turned away, who is quite tense, and turned away and is looking at the horizon. All right, that's about all we can say right now because we're going to run out of time. So the other thing that I want to say about him, though, is, what I want you to do is I want you to tell me more about what you see around him. Around him. And Abby has some insights into this because she arranged her selfie very carefully. So this is the context. You could use that word to explain the visual context for the main character. What's going on around them? What's over here? What's over here? The sleeping man is definitely part of the context. The open hold is part of the context. Tell me something that's in the painting that's not the main character that you think is important to understanding the painting, that is a part of the context. Pick something and tell me about it.
Well,
Okay, let's see. Abby.
There are books on the floor.
All right, thank you. I think of all the things that we could look at, I think that is the most important of all. So let me go ahead and bring up the books. Okay. And tell me more about the books, Abby, because you noticed them so very well. Tell me.
It seems like there are actually two. They're on the blanket.
Yep.
And it seems like they're navigating books.
Yeah, I don't think we can tell the content, can we? But we can see that they are open to a variety of pages, and there's more than one of them. I don't think these are blankets. I think these are probably sails, actually, or something like that. And so, you know, some part of the rigging of the ship, right? Because we see these this tackle equipment here, it's called, that's part of the rigging of the ship. But wait a minute. Books in the darkness. Who reads books in the darkness? Dana, what did you want to say about the books? Dana, go ahead.
Say that it's messy around them.
It's messy?
Yeah, everything's on the floor.
Yeah, you're right. I think that's also a good comment. It's kind of a messy situation. Right? It's not, the books are there, but everything's kind of out of order a little bit. I think that's a good observation, too. Okay, so, Patrick?
Well, a person who would want to read a book in the darkness would need a flashlight or a candlelight like that one.
Well, there you go, right? So why does the man have a lamp? Because he needs to see at night, and he's reading at night. Okay, but wait a minute. Why do you read at night? Anybody here read at night? When's the most kind of normal day to read, you know, more normal time to read? When there's plenty of light, right? When you don't need a special lamp, right? But when do you read at night? Why do we read at night? Any thoughts about that? Dana, put your hand down unless you're answering this question. Henry, Wyatt.
Well, you could read at night just to read yourself to sleep.
Okay. Is that what this man is doing?
Nope.
No, okay, so he's not trying to go. So, in a way, it's the opposite, isn't it? Why is he reading at night?
To keep himself awake.
Yeah, I wouldn't necessarily say put it that way, right? But he is definitely, you know, he has books out and he has maps out because he's doing something important at night. It's a project that he wants to do at night, and he's not giving up on it just because it's night. So he needs the light on, as Patrick was saying, and he needs to be looking at it very carefully, and it matters a lot. Okay, we're going to get to this a little bit more. Nemo, go ahead.
He needs to see the sky.
He needs, well, he needs to see the sky to see, what's he going to look at in the sky for, Nemo?
The pole star.
Well, he's going at the stars, right? Sure. So the pole star is, what does that mean? Explain that a little bit, Nemo. What pole?
It's fixing the sky.
Yeah, right. So it's the North Star, right? It's the one that tells you the direction of north. And so if you know where north is, well, you know where south is and so on, right? So that's part of navigating if you know where the stars are. Okay, so Gurney, go ahead.
Maybe he lost his way on the ocean.
Yeah, maybe he did, and he needs to be trying to, you know, get back his way. It's definitely a challenge. He's having difficulties. He's actually really tired. We saw in this facial expression, right? We saw the baggy eyes, a little bit of red and yellow in the eyes, even just with the light, but it makes it stronger. And so he's tired and upset and trying to find his way at night. This is a difficult project. Yes?
Well, I also wanted to say that he might need the light to look at the map.
Oh, yeah, certainly. The maps and the books. Absolutely. Right? So he needs to be at night because there's the stars to navigate. He needs to have the lights on to look at the maps and the books. Why does he need to do this in the middle of the night? Well, because he needs to find out where he is. He absolutely needs to know where he is. And then something. And then something what? Shocking. And then something surprising. He looks over. He swings around. His necklace is flying over. And his hat falls on the ground. And he's looking at the horizon. And what does he see? And what does he see? Now I'm going to read you from a little poem that captures this, and I'm going to send you a link to this poem, which is a great poem for you to learn if you want to do that. And here it is, the poem, and you already know who this is, so I won't ruin it for you, but the poem is called Columbus by Joaquin Miller. And I'm not going to read you the whole poem, but I'm just going to read you the last two stanzas here, just to give you a sense of what this moment was. Okay, so go ahead and read along with me if you like, and I will read this last part of the poem to give us a sense of this dramatic moment. Here we go. They sailed, then spake the mate. This mad sea shows his teeth tonight. He curls his lip, he lies in wait with lifted teeth as if to bite. Brave Admiral, say but one good word. What shall we do when hope is gone? The words leapt like a leaping sword. Sail on, sail on, sail on, and on. Then pale and worn, he kept his deck. Then pale and worn, he kept his deck. And peered through darkness. Ah, that night, of all dark nights, and then a speck, a light, at last a light. It grew, a star-lit flag unfurled, it grew to be time's burst of dawn. He gained a world, he gave that world its grandest lesson. On, sail on. Great poem dedicated to an amazing explorer, Christopher Columbus. And this is indeed the moment, isn't it? This moment right here. Wonderful that we have a poet who managed to capture the moment, and we have an artist who managed to give us the same moment. Patrick, go ahead.
I think that from the poem and the book that I read, I think that it's when he finds some sort of island.
Exactly. Now, we will learn the story of Columbus, of course, in our course, and we'll learn the details of it. But basically, what happened was Columbus was sailing into the unknown. He needed to know where he was. It was very dangerous. It was very scary. And his men are sleeping, and they've given up. And he's pale and worn, and he's not sure he's ever going to reach Asia. And as it turns out, he's not going to reach Asia. As it turns out, he's made miscalculations. He doesn't know exactly how big the earth is, and there's this other place there called America. So, but anyway, the great moment, of course, is after having gone across an empty ocean, he reaches land. The first moment on that night of all dark nights, when the great explorer, while everybody else sleeps, looks around and sees a light. A light. At last, a light! What do you think the light was? Does anybody know? If it was on an island, why would you see light? Abigail?
Could it be a fire?
Yeah, probably the campfires of the native people, right? Some fires. some torches, something like that. Maybe that's one interpretation. We don't have to worry too much about if we're absolutely right or not, you know. But that definitely is what this moment is depicting, is essentially the moment of the discovery of America. How amazing. How absolutely amazing. All right, so now what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and bring up a little notepad here. I apologize for the clutter for a second. Where's my notepad? There it is. All right, so that I can write on the screen what the title of this painting is going to be. So we are going to go over time, but we're going to try to finish within the next 9 minutes because I really can't do more than that. Okay? And so let me see here. I probably need a different font. So let me see my fonts as well. I need it to be a little bit bigger. All right, let's try with that, see how it goes. Okay, so a man, now I'm going to get you started. A man stands on a boat. Okay, that's a description of the painting, Mr. Powell. It doesn't seem quite complete. Maybe you can help me, Mr. Powell, to get a slightly better description. Or actually, I'm going to ask you guys to help me. Give me a better description. Something that I haven't said. I want everybody to kind of try to add an ingredient here. A man stands on a boat. Okay, give me more. Give me more. Anna.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
A man stands in a boat as he discovers new land.
We don't see that in the painting. We don't see that in the painting, so we're not going to say that. Henry, Wyatt.
A surprised man stands on the boat.
Okay, I'm going to change that around and say a man stands surprised. Something like that. Yeah, we got to work the surprise in there. Okay, tell me something else that we haven't said yet that describes this painting. Abby?
A surprised man stands on a boat looking off into the distance.
Okay, actually, I am going to move the surprise back where Wyatt and Henry had it, and I'm going to give it with you. A surprised man stands on a boat looking off into the distance. Oh, we're getting there now. That is definitely better. Tell me something else, Dana.
A surprised, heavy-dressed man stands on a boat looking off into the distance.
Yeah, heavily clothed. I think we're going to leave the clothes out just for now. It's not a bad choice, but I might come back to that one. Okay, Jeremy.
There's someone sweeping on the boat.
Yes, I know, but are you going to put that in your sentence? I don't know if it belongs. Or, well, try to do it. You want to put it in the sentence?
No.
Well, it might be a good idea to try. We're missing something here. Why is this image so dark? Jack, thank you very much. Tell us, please. Come on. Can't talk. Okay. It's a prize. Your keyboard works, though, thank goodness. A surprised man stands on a boat at night. Or maybe we'll put it at night as the rest of the crew sleeps. A surprised man stands on a boat looking off into the distance. Okay. So, what else? What else do we need? Abby?
A surprised man stands on a boat trying to navigate through the dark by using the stars and maps and books.
All right. A surprised navigator. I'm gonna take what you said and stick it into one word, right? Because that's what he is. He's a navigator. We know because he's got the maps and the books. That's his job. He's up on that deck. He is the one who's in charge. Right? Good, good. So we got the navigation part in there. Wow, we are closing in on this. Do we need anything else? What do you think? Do we need anything else to describe this painting? Looking off. Now, I think we might be able to improve it, but we don't have We don't so much have time to. So I think we're going to have to say that we're going to be satisfied with this one for today. It's possible to improve it, but I think we're going to stop there. And I'm just going to now ask you to put your hands down and instead, because it's pretty good, instead, let's give the painting a title. So, based on our sentence and based on everything we know, what would you give the title of this painting, Patrick?
To me, I call it Columbus and the Adventure of America.
Well, okay. That's why we are not supposed to know who this is. We are just looking at a man in the middle of the night who's looking off into the distance. So we're not going to call it Columbus. We're not going to bring in all of the history. We're just going to say, what does this picture say? Not what is it that we know because we've studied history. So what does this picture say, Anna?
The Navigator.
Okay, there we go. The Navigator. I kind of like that one. He's the Navigator. And then the question that the painting makes us think about as art is it says, what kind of man is a navigator? And he's the kind of man who stays up at night while the others sleep. He's the kind of man who finds new lands. That's what a navigator is in this, right? This painting shows us. So that's a pretty good title. Jeremy, what's your title?
The Man on the Sea.
Man in the Sea. Okay. Man on the Sea. Yeah, so right. There's kind of something about what kind of man are you that you go off onto the sea like this. That's pretty good. Okay. Abby?
The Captain.
The Captain. All right. Okay. The man in charge, right? Sir Gurney, go ahead.
Oh, I forgot the lower man.
Okay. I thought it came up anew. Henry, Wyatt.
This is Henry.
Go ahead.
My one is a navigator on the sea.
The which navigator?
A navigator.
A navigator on the sea. Right. Okay. We got that. Okay. We can put that. A navigator. I'm going to give you a different kind of take on this. There's a different title. The Surprise. See what I'm seeing? See what I'm saying there? I'm kind of giving it a little bit of a different spin. Anybody want to try a title like that? Dana, go ahead.
The Explorer.
Okay, The Explorer. That's more like those ones up there. The Explorer, right? This is a moment that an explorer gets to have. Sigourney?
This climate's real. I was thinking it should be Man on the Ocean or something.
Man on the Sea. Man on the Sea. Man on the Ocean. We have that. Okay. Jeremy, go ahead. Jeremy, you have another one?
Not what he expected.
Not what he expected. Oh, yeah, that's kind of another way of putting... That's an artistic way of saying a surprise, right? Not what he expected. Now, do we have a discovery yet? I don't think so. I think this is not quite a discovery. This is a moment of surprise. And then maybe, you know, this is going to become a discovery, right? But this is the shock of the moment. The shock of discovery. Maybe that's what it is. That's what this painting is, the surprise of it, the excitement of something that's never happened before, that was unexpected, it was maybe it's expected or unexpected, we're not quite sure. You have one?
Never mind.
Okay, all right. I think that's as far as we can go, guys. You've done so well, and we know that it's Columbus, and we know that we're going to be talking about this angering fact of history a lot and how important it is, but now at least we have an image in our minds of what an amazing moment it must have been for him, right? This is a personal moment for the navigator who did what nobody else could do. who changed the course of the history of the world. How exciting. Okay, thank you all very much. It was amazing. I love working with you through art. If you still want to do a history through art selfie of this painting, you are welcome to do it. Or you can wait for the next painting and you'll have your chances there too. Thank you very much, everybody. We've got to go. Bye for now.
Bye, Mr. Pa.
Bye.
Bye.